You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is Monday the 7th of February 2022 from the SBS Newsroom. This is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap. Later, why record petrol prices are set to go even higher. But first, let's take a look at the Australian share market, which fell only slightly. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.1%, 7,110 points, and that's despite some pretty solid gains from travel stocks as the government said international border will reopen on February the 21st. Earlier, I spoke with Alex Pakoulis from Harper's Bernays and asked him what drove the market.
Ricardo, look, there's a mixture of macro factors and company-specific things today. On the macro side, rising interest rates globally are hitting the real estate investment trust sector, and you saw that on Friday night offshore. Locally in the banks, there's a bit of weakness from the ANZ result, and Magellan's down 11% because Hamish Douglass has taken a medical leave of absence. But the large cap miners have rallied throughout the day, and that's brought the index back to pretty much square. GrainCorp's up 13% on the back of a bumper crop, seeing very strong demand. And you've had an announcement around the international borders opening up in Australia, which is seeing the travel stocks all up around 5%.
So that reopening of the international border here in Australia, how important is it exactly to those travel stocks? Because they've been hit really hard of late and the ongoing impact to the economy.
Absolutely. Look, it's really significant for the sector, and I think it's significant for the broader economy as well. I mean, for the sector itself, a lot of those stocks are trading, you know, close to lows when they have, because they've had Delta come through and disrupt the reopening. Then it was Omicron. So there's been a lot of uncertainty about when those revenues are going to pick back up. So it's a real positive for the sector. But I think more broadly for the local economy, it's a real positive for businesses who are hiring temporary staff for the labour supply to ease up as well.
You mentioned ANZ there briefly. What exactly didn't investors like about its update? Because its share price really has underperformed.
Yeah, look, two key things, and they're the two that you don't want. Number one, revenue's a bit soft, and then number two, cost control not quite as good as the market had hoped for. On the revenue side, it's net interest margins, and ANZ are saying that there's a high level of refinancing going on, and there's a lot of competition for that refinancing, so they're seeing that crimp margins. And on the cost side, they said back in November that they expected run the bank costs to be declining, and they're now saying that those run the bank costs are flat.
Profit reporting season continues both here in Australia and the US. Which are the ones you found most interesting today?
Yeah, look, James Hardie's the other one today that's a really strong one that we follow closely. North American sales growth of 24%, about half of that from volumes and about half from price and mix. But importantly, they've guided to 25% profit growth in FY23 as well. So that's a company performing really, really strongly, and it's one that we like here. Two that are offshore that have caught my attention, and they're bellwethers, Apple and Amazon. You know, Apple revenue growth of 11%. They beat in almost every category, and in particular, iPhones are very, very strong for them at the moment. And importantly, they said supply chain challenges are starting to improve. So I think that's a really good anecdote across the broader market. And then Amazon on Friday, stock was up 14%. The result itself was only okay, but they've put Amazon Prime membership fees up by $20 per year. There's 150 million Amazon Prime subscribers just in the US.
You mentioned supply chain issues there. That's one of the reasons why inflation's so strong, but we get the latest CPI number out of the US sometime later this week. What are you expecting, and how significant will it be for the market?
No, it's hugely important. The market is hanging on these inflation concerns at the moment. Growth stocks have underperformed significantly over the last couple of months, and it's all driven by those inflation concerns and how high interest rates may have to go. Look, the market's looking for a headline number of 7.3%. It was 7% in December. Anything that spikes, you know, reasonably above that 7, there's going to be concerns that the Fed have to move by 50 basis points in March, and that would see the growth stock sell off again, I think. So there's a lot of focus on this number, and it's really important.
So in this high inflation, higher interest rate environment, post that sell-off we saw in January, where do you see the opportunities right now?
So the opportunities are in those names that are selling off. We think there's some fantastic companies that are growing strongly that are now starting to approach really interesting valuation levels. So that's where we're focusing our attention. It's also because throughout the course of this year, we do think inflation will start to dissipate and the concerns around it will similarly start to dissipate. And that's when you'll see that valuation support coming back for those growth names. So domestically, I'd include in that category, you know, Aristocrat, ResMed, Webjet on the travel side, James Hardie, which I've mentioned already. Globally, we think biotech, from a global perspective, is looking very interesting at the moment.
Alex Pakoulis there from Harper Bernays. From the share market, let's go to the jobs market. And Australia's job ads only fell slightly during Omicron. That's according to ANZ's job ad series. And we are on track for pay rises this year. For more, I spoke earlier with ANZ's senior economist, Adelaide Timbrell. Adelaide, what do the jobs numbers today say about the jobs market? And to what extent did Omicron impact it?
So what we've seen in ANZ job ads is that they fell by 0.3% in January. So what that really means is that while Omicron might have had a very small impact, it shows that even with Omicron disruptions, there are still a lot of employers looking for people to work. And that is a really great sign for people getting into jobs and for the unemployment rate to fall further.
Can you go into more detail as to what you expect that unemployment rate to be and then what it means for interest rates then?
Absolutely. So the unemployment rate right now is 4.2%. We expect that to keep falling. And importantly, we actually expect the amount of people who don't have enough hours in their current jobs to also fall to under 4% for unemployment, and then for a smaller number for underemployment. So at the moment, underemployment is around 6-7%, and that will fall too. What that means is that there'll be fewer people applying for jobs, which means for an employer to find an extra worker, they're going to have to work harder and offer more in terms of the paycheck. So this is all a really great sign for accelerating wage growth through 2022. And once wage growth accelerates, the Reserve Bank has a lot more wiggle room to start increasing the cash rate. So we think the cash rate will start to increase in September and then get to 0.75% by the end of the year. It's currently 0.1%. By the end of next year, we're expecting a 2% cash rate.
The Treasury says over 1 million workers started new jobs from August to November last year. We've heard a lot about the Great Resignation, but the government is calling it the Great Reshuffle. Which one's right?
We aren't seeing a Great Resignation in the same way as what we saw in the US, for example. In the US, we saw participation come down and people really leave the workforce. What we're seeing in Australia is actually participation has been really resilient and is historically very high at around 65%. So lots of adults are actually either actively looking for work or have a job, and very few have actually come out of the workforce due to disruptions in a long-term way. A couple of people, of course, have, you know, some people have come in and out as there haven't been jobs available due to lockdowns. But when we look more longer term, we're seeing that lots of people do want to work. And so I think a great reshuffle is probably a better suited to the Australian situation.
Adelaide Timbrell there from ANZ. Now, the average household spent on petrol last week around $241. That's according to the team at ComSec. And if you think that is a pretty high amount or very expensive, you're not wrong, because it's actually probably a record. And that's because the Australian Institute of Petroleum says the national price, or the national average for a litre of unleaded fuel, rose 2.3 cents last week to $1.71.9, and that is a record. It comes as the oil price hit a 7-year high and a lower Australian dollar. And of course, demand is increasing around the world because of the global reopening and the timing. Kids are going back to school as well. So where to now for the price of petrol? I asked that earlier to Craig James. He's the chief economist at ComSec.
Well, we could see in some capital cities and some regional areas $2 a litre at the petrol pump. So certainly, yes, now is the time to be able to shop around the place, use your petrol apps to be able to find the cheapest prices.
Craig James here from ComSec.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.